God helping me tonight, I want to talk to you on this subject, the power of a penniless preacher. The power of a penniless preacher. You follow along, please, as I would read from Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful for the account that we've read tonight. We believe with all of our heart that it happened exactly as it's recorded, and that you recorded it for us for a reason. Lord, we don't expect tonight that we're going to be reaching out to any lame people and seeing them walk. I reckon we could if that's what you wanted us to do, but we don't anticipate that. But I pray that you'll help us to be ever mindful that we're to be lookouts for people who need the hand of Christ, for those who need someone to introduce them to the Lord Jesus, that he might reach down his hand for them and do for them what he's done for so many of us. Spirit of God, the best I know how, I yield myself to you tonight. I want to speak the words that would please my Lord, and I want to abstain from speaking those that would do any harm. And I pray, Lord, that you'd guide me, that you'd fill my heart and mind and open my mouth. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I notice about this man in our text that he was helpless. Did you see that? Our Bible says a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. His condition, a sad one. Understand, there was no welfare system. There was no, I suppose he wouldn't have been eligible for Medicare. He doesn't necessarily sound like an old man, does he? Although he said he had been a long time. I guess we ought not to write off those old men quite so easy, should we? Maybe he was an old man. But even if he had been eligible, they didn't have it. The only way he was going to survive physically is that people who were going into that temple had a heart to help him. He was asking alms of them. Alms could have been a lot of things. It could have been money, and that's what he wanted. Or it could have been any good work. You know, the Lord Jesus cautioned his people, his followers, not to do their alms to be seen of men. That was good works, that was money, that was anything that they were doing supposedly for God. This man was dependent upon others because he was helpless. Our text says that he was lame from his mother's womb. He never knew what it was to walk. Never. Now, I do not personally believe that God's primary intent for putting this text into the Bible for us was that you and I should be on the lookout for lame people. I believe he had in his heart what he's laid on my heart, and I'm sure our pastors also, that we're to be on the lookout for people who need the hand of God. For people who are just like this man, was physically, they are spiritually. They are lame from their mother's womb. It's easy to find people like that. I'm looking at about probably 150 or so of them tonight. Every one of us came into this world lame. A few of us were lame brains. But we're not going to, I'm not going to look over there. No, I'm trying to look over here in this front row. But all of us were lame spiritually. Matter of fact, like the preacher said this morning, we were born dead. Isn't that we were born sick, that we were born lame, we were born dead. That's about as helpless as you can get. We are all the children of Adam. And the Bible tells us that all in Adam die. And that's all of us. We're all spiritually dead, and we're headed for the graveyard. Unless through the grace of God and the mercy of God, we don't see death because of the rapture. This man portrays for us one who is absolutely, positively helpless and has been that way since his birth. Now, the Bible says that the wicked are estranged from the womb. They come forth from that womb actually speaking lies. You know, those nice little babies that we love so much, they're a bunch of liars. We know it. You know, we can catch them at it later, but when they're little bitty things, we think, oh, sweet little thing, and we pick it up. And the minute you pick it up, it's, you know, pants like a little dog, and it's real happy. All it wanted was somebody to pick it up. Well, now, your kids didn't do that, but Mary's did. Hallelujah. You got that. I knew you would. This man was fortunate in that he had some friends. And those friends had compassion on him. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Well, our text says that daily they took him to the temple. They took him to the temple in order that somebody could come by and help him. I take it that his friends were not people of means. Or he wouldn't have been out there begging for alms, would he? He was a poor man with poor friends. And yet they were kind and they were compassionate, and daily they would take him to the place where people would see him. There's another in the scripture who is filled with compassion. His name is Jesus. And the Bible tells us that in Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, that Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them. Then it tells us why. Because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. That's what a shepherd does, Asher. The spiritual shepherd teaches people many things. And the Lord Jesus was indeed a spiritual shepherd. Matter of fact, he was not only the shepherd, he was the Lamb of God. He understood the sheep. He understood their needs, and he understood what they needed to know and to be told. And as the good shepherd, he taught them. But he was moved with compassion for a reason. You know what moves us these days? And I'm not condemning these things. It's not the presence of these things that I'm going to mention, but the absence of that which is right. That's the problem. Today, a great many people are moved with compassion upon the poor. And there's always a play upon someone's poverty. Now, I don't know about you, but I have been poor. I mean, ask Mary. There were times when we didn't know where our next meal was coming from. But our Heavenly Father, who is rich, always provided for us. And I am living testimony today that I am not about to starve to death. Why are you laughing? These people are rude, preacher. They hurt my feelings. Well, they were also, that people are moved toward the uneducated. Poor and ignorant people, they need our help. And they probably do. There are people who don't have a job. They need our help. They probably do. There are people of another race, whatever that is. You know, it depends on what your race is, as to which was the other race. You get what I mean. And we need to help them. Those were not the things that moved Jesus. You remember what moved him? That they were lost. That's what moved him. Far more than these other things. It is not that we should not care for those other things, but that we should care more about a person's eternal destiny. Go ye therefore and give jobs to the jobless. Go ye therefore and teach, yes, but don't stop with just teaching. You make disciples, and then you teach them. Amen. This means say amen, all right? Got it? Let's try it. Good. All right, you did well. By the way, remember, this will get over with according to how much you cooperate. All right? And my sermons are not long. They just... Amen. They just... Amen. Seem long. You're smarter than that. This is the same signal for seem. You tell me what I want to hear. My sermons are not long. They just... And we say, oh, you got it. All right, you've got it. Well, there was one thing that this man thought he needed. The thing he thought he needed was money. And we can understand why he would think he needed money. You understand that, don't you? You have no way to support yourself. You're at the mercy of other people. You want to eat? You probably had to pay some rent somewhere. You need money. And that's all he could see that he needed was money. I thought of three entities that think money is the answer to everything. And you probably could come up with the same ones. The first group is rich people. Rich people think you can get anything with money. They're not unlike the second group, which is poor people. Poor people think all of their troubles would be over if only they had money. Right? And the third group, there will be absolutely no question, the government. Yes. Government thinks if you throw money at something, it's going to be all right. And the more money you throw, the better off it is. No. Money is not the answer. Money is not the answer for the rich. Money is not the answer for the poor. And money is certainly not the answer for the problems that our government has. Matter of fact, money is probably what got our government in a lot of the problems that it's in. But I wouldn't want to be political tonight. Yes, I would, but I won't. The multitude want as this man wanted. They want charity instead of Christ. Down through the years, literally hundreds of people have stopped by the church where I was and said, "Preacher, we need some money. We can't pay our electric bill." We can't pay our electric bill. For those of you listening to the tape, I just puffed a little bit. If you got money to buy cigarettes, you got money to pay the light bill. They want charity. They want charity more than they want character. There was a day in the good old United States of America that people had character, whether or not they were a Christian. A man's word was good. He would rather have a job than a handout. By the way, that idea came out of the Bible. The Bible says if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. Doesn't say if he cannot work, says if he will not. This man in our account tonight could not work. I'm not condemning him for not working. But I am saying he had the wrong idea about what he needed. He didn't need money. What he needed was God in his life. His plea, his hope, was that Peter and John would give him money. That's what our text says. Well, as we read in the story, Peter said, "I ain't got none. Silver and gold have I none." He didn't say, "I don't have but a little." None is zero with a rim marked out of it. It's nothing. I don't have any money. Can't you see the man's face falling and his heart sinking? I thought surely these guys would give me some money. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I unto you. What's it going to be? What's he going to give me? Maybe he's got a new chariot out there or a new camel, huh? Maybe he's got some expensive clothes that I could sell. No. He's got something for you you never would have thought of. It never entered this man's mind what Peter was and John were going to do for him. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. Yay. Was that the end of the story? Did Peter clap his hands together and say, "Well, my job is done"? You know what he did? He reached out his hand and he said, "Stand up." It isn't enough just to talk. You do what you can to help people. And sometimes it takes a lot of the grace of God to do that. And particularly in the day in which we live now. None of us claim to be perfect, do we? I hope not. Please see me after the service, and I probably can help you with that. All right? And I know you can help me with it if I have a problem with that. Even with our infirmities and with our inadequacies, we are still so much ahead of the people of this world in knowing and doing the things that are right. And that fact gets in our way. I cannot for the life of me understand why any otherwise beautiful woman wants to have ink put under her skin and look like a snake or a devil. I do not understand that. It's anything but pretty. It's ugly. It's repulsive. But you know what? She's like that man who sat outside that temple. She does not know any better. She doesn't know any better. And we in our mind are condemning her because we don't have those things. Whether or not she has tattoos is not the issue. Whether or not she knows Jesus Christ is the issue. Now, if Brother Jeff comes in here next week and he's got a big tattoo on his cheek, he can expect another tattoo on another cheek somewhere. And I know who'll do it. And you got it coming. But not the person out on the street. And yet, folks, we turn them off. We turn away from them. A lot of times we misjudge people. I say we because I do it. And if I do it, I figure you do it too. Maybe you don't. Probably 30 years ago, I was driving down a street in Des Moines. And I must have looked like an ancient old man then. But I had a flat tire. just out of nowhere, a flat tire. And I pulled over out of this busy intersection, just barely out of the intersection, and I thought, oh, no. I've got to empty that trunk out now and get that spare tire out and jack this car up and get this tire changed. About that time, some thugs came up behind me on motorcycles. I thought, oh, good night. Don't I have enough trouble without these guys showing up? I mean, you know, they got the chains hanging. This is a long time ago. That wasn't stylish then. I'm in bad trouble. And the leader of the gang comes up and he says, well, what's the matter, buddy? It looks like you got a spare tire. I mean, you need a spare tire. I said, I got a spare tire. It's in the trunk. He says, let us help you. And I kept waiting for him to pull out the knife. I'll be honest with you. I did. I thought, well, all right. You know what? Those are the most helpful men you could imagine. They were so kind to me. They didn't want any money for it. And I had already condemned them just because of the way they looked. Now, again, if they'd been deacons at the church where I was, that'd been one thing. Or the deacon's kids. But they weren't. They were lost men on their way to hell. And I'm ashamed to tell you this, but I didn't say one word to them about Jesus. Shame on you. Yeah? Shame on me. I didn't. Would you have? Oh, yeah, man, I would have. I hope so. I hope so. And I hope I would now. I think I would now. God put them in my way. You know why I had a flat tire? So I'd have the opportunity to witness to a bunch of thugs. If God had been me, he said, I should have let him get you. Huh? But he didn't. Maybe so I could live and come tell you someday. To my knowledge, Mary, I've never used that illustration. Isn't it great how the Holy Spirit works, preacher? I hadn't thought of that in years and years and years. I wonder how many people walked past this man. Some of them obviously put some coins in his cup. But I wonder if there were other Christians even that walked past him. Peter and John weren't the only Christians in town. You know? Well, he saw Peter and John. And John and Peter saw him. The text says they fastened their eyes on him. He just looked up and saw them, but they fastened their eyes on him. You know why they did that? Because their shepherd said, look out into the field that is white already unto harvest. That's what they were doing. Those are the men whom the Bible says turn the world upside down. Because they bought up the opportunities. Friends, even those of us who come out on Thursday nights or Saturdays, as the case may be, we pass up an awful lot of opportunities on Thursday night and on Saturday, let alone the other days of the week. We'll pass 10 people on the way to see one. An awful lot of times. You know, you folks that are working in the bus ministry, bless your heart. God loves you. And we love you. I wish I had the physical stamina to do it. I love it. You'd have to stand in line. If you see a tricycle in the yard, there's a kid that goes with that tricycle. You see a ball in the yard, there's a kid that goes with that ball. Follow the ball, you'll find the kid. Huh? If you haven't found that out yet, it's worth coming to church tonight. I'm not saying don't go to the same house 10 weeks in a row. The 11th week you might get them. But on the way to that house or on the way back, stop where the tricycle is. Stop where the ball is. Our kids out, some kids out playing basketball. You guys, you know what would happen if you go up and start playing ball with a kid in the sixth grade? You'd be his hero. You say, how you know? Because I've seen it happen. Don't pass up people. They may just look like an old bum sitting at the side of the road with a cup in his hand. But Jesus can do something for them. And he wants to do it through you and through me. He wants us to reach down our hand, as it were, not to give them silver or gold, but give them what we have. And what do we have? We have Jesus. And we have Jesus to give him away. We have faith to give it away. Well, the man was healed. He got up. And you know what? He was happy. Can you imagine it? He was happy. I mean, really happy. You say, how do you know? Well, it says he was praising God. Do we know what praising God is? Huh? I mean, he might have been a Baptist, but imagine he was still running around saying, woo, woo, I can walk, look, and jumping up and down and carrying on. People loved it. Look, looky here, look what happened to him. Those guys did it over there, that Peter and John. They said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's the man they killed here a few weeks back. But look what happened to him when they said that. He got happy because of what God had done for him. And the Bible says then he went home and watched TV. Well, that's the NIV that says that, I guess. The King James says he went to church. Now, I shouldn't have said that because it's going to confuse you. The temple's not the church, all right? But he went to the closest thing he could get to it. He went to the house of God as he understood it. That's a good place to be. And it's particularly a good place to be if you're a child of the King. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us, and you already know it, you're here, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And even more, as we see the day approaching, what day? The coming of Jesus. Amen. Don't you see the coming of Jesus? Yes. Yes. I see it. I see it. I'm amazed every day I wake up here. I can't believe all the things that are going on. Even the people of the world are starting to get afraid. And the days of men's hearts failing them for fear are not going to be fulfilled while you and I are still here, but the stage is sure being set for it. And there's an awful lot of people scared nonetheless. Matter of fact, I'm not too happy about the idea of getting my head cut off. You might think it'd be a good idea, but not me. I don't think so. By the way, preacher, did you read your Bible 25 years ago and wonder, what's all this business of cutting people's heads off? I did. I thought, nobody goes around cutting people's heads off anymore. That must just be figurative language. It isn't figurative language. It literally is going to happen. It literally is happening. And you and I need to be busy because the night cometh when no man can work. If the Lord does not come back soon, and if the Muslims put off their occupation of America, we may still lose the liberty to witness for Christ. They most definitely will be as the KJB was in Russia. And they will tell us what we can preach and where we can preach. It won't do them any good until they put us in prison like they did their preachers. You think that won't happen here? That will happen here. will happen here. We just don't know when. We had better be reaching down while we can and lifting up. Because it's going to be too late. This happy man, you know what happens when people get happy? I mean, when they really get happy. How many of you remember that great spiritual film called Mary Poppins? Anybody remember that? All right. You remember the hymn they sang in there? I love to laugh, huh? Loud and long and clear. I love to laugh. It's getting worse every year. The more I laugh, the more I'm filled with glee. And the more the glee, what's it say? The more I'm a happier me. The idea is, everybody in the place was laughing. You know why? Because happiness is contagious. So is grumping and complaining and finding fault. That's why the Bible says stay away from people like that, lest you learn their ways. But this man was happy, and the people around him started getting happy. And he walks up, and I think with a holy hug, he was holding on to Peter and John. The Bible says he was. He was holding them. That's before the days when it was popular. You know? And I don't mean that in a nasty way. I mean that in just the way it is. A lot of us guys in this room that are older know there was a day when a man did not hug a man. You just didn't do it. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. I'm saying we didn't do it. And I lived with my dad a good many years, and he never hugged me. Never. But this man was hugging two guys he just met because he was so happy. That's what Jesus does. For some reason, the bus song came to my mind. I know you know it. The devil wants everybody grumpy. You know this one? The devil wants everybody mad. The devil wants everybody grumpy, 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 and he doesn't want anybody glad. But Jesus wants everybody happy. Jesus wants everybody glad. Jesus wants everybody happy, 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 and he doesn't want anybody sad. Now, that'll do for a bus program to get it warmed up. There's a lot of truth in that. It's called the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it doesn't necessarily mean you always go around with a smile on your face. I know that. But you don't go around murmuring against God's provision. You don't go around murmuring and complaining about the providence of God. When we complain about our circumstances, isn't that what we're doing? We're saying, God has not been good to me. I don't know what that did, what that man did before he was healed. He may have been a grump. But you know what? I think he spent the rest of his life happy because he was free. Free. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And I remind you that he is the truth. Songwriter said, if you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, what do? Let Jesus come into your heart. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Your sins he'll wash away. Your night he'll turn to day. He'll make it over anew. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. folks, we need to resolve tonight to go out and spread the joy. And that's not a joke. Go out and spread the joy. And we spread the joy as we spread the good news that one came from heaven. By the way, they didn't search through heaven for such a one, as the songwriter said. There's only one to come, and they knew exactly who he was. There came from heaven a precious Savior to save a poor lost soul like me. That's a better way to sing that, huh? Oh, hallelujah, what a Savior. And he gave his life's blood for you and me and the bum on the street and the fallen woman and the fallen man and the rebellious child. He gave his life for people who will deny him, knowing all the time that they will deny him, that they will never accept him. But he gave his life a ransom for all. And our responsibility is to tell them that. And tell them again. And tell them again. And pray for them. And by the grace of God, we'll see a lot of people saved. You know, there really are people out there who are waiting for somebody to come and tell them about Jesus. You say, how do you know? Because in almost 50 years of ministry, I've met one. And if there's one there, there's others. It's like a bug. You know, if there's one bug, there's other bugs. Because that bug had a mama, right? Amen? Isn't that a great analogy? Don't you wish you'd thought of that? No kidding. I walked up to this lady's door with my visitation partner. And we knocked on the door. And we said, we're from, you know, Brand X Church. And we're here to make sure that people know how they can get to heaven. And the lady started crying. And I thought, oh no, what have we done? She says, I've just been praying, asking God to send somebody to me to tell me how I can go to heaven. It's what I was doing when you knocked at the door. Isn't that something? There's another one out there somewhere. There'll be somebody who'll slam the door in your face. If they haven't already, they will. And that's good for you. It's good for me. And when we walk away, we say, Lord, please, help me remember that except for your grace, that's me. I would have done that. We send the Jehovah's Witnesses packing, don't we? We're supposed to anyway. Well, to them, we're no different. It's not our job to make up their mind. It's our job to take them the message. And as long as we do that, we're a success. Whether or not they're saved is between them and God. Our job is just to take it, to reach down, and as it were say, silver and gold have I none. I can't give you money, I can't give you power, but I can give you what I have. And what I have is the good news that Jesus loves you. He died for you. And if you'll trust him, he'll forgive your sin, and he'll take you to heaven when you die. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together, please.